Well, hey, and welcome. This is Dave. I hope you guys are doing great. I appreciate you coming, and I appreciate the input about doing an active discussion. For those of you who did the online training before maybe a year ago when it was an option, I have streamlined the recordings to be only the lecture mode now, so there's not the beginning of class discussion and the end of class discussion from the groups that agreed to let me record and use it. So I hope that streamlined it, and I welcome an active discussion. While I encourage you to send me questions, comments, and exchanges about the material, I know it's a little difficult sometimes to do that, so I wanted to have an active discussion to hear your questions and your thoughts and the things that would make most difference to you. And I appreciate those of you who have sent in questions, and I promise to get to them in just a moment. But I want to take a minute for those of you who are here right now to introduce yourselves and then to add any questions or topics or issues that you would like to be sure that we discuss in this up to an hour teleconference. So would you introduce yourselves, where you're from, what kind of coaching practice you have or are planning, and if there are any questions or things you'd like to talk about. But not all at once.
Hi, Dave. It's Carlene. I'm calling from Edmonton, Canada.
Welcome, Carlene. How you doing?
Really good, thank you.
Great.
Happy to be here. I'm a heart-centered life mentor coach. I want to be more of a passive participant today because I can't be on the call for too long, and I don't want to interfere with.
You better get in everything up front then.
Thank you. I will just be so happy to listen.
Okay. Any things that you want to be sure that we cover that have come up in your training or any questions that maybe are unanswered by the presentations or by the curriculum or the client workbook?
Not that I can think of right now.
Okay. Well, feel free to jump in. You don't get to
Thank
do
you.
That online, but you can jump in at any point here when we're live time, okay?
Thank you.
All right, great. Thanks for checking in. I appreciate it. And this will be recorded for anyone who has to leave, or I already got a couple of notes that people could not arrange their schedule. So thanks, Carlene. Who else?
Hi, Dave. This is Carolyn Hodge-West. How are you?
Welcome. How are you? Good.
I'm terrific, thanks. I'm from Michigan, and I am doing the Money Story licensure training.
Uh-huh.
And so, is this okay for me to be on this call?
Totally. Yeah.
Okay.
Terrific. Too, because some of the questions were both kind of overlapped, and I thought it could be a benefit both ways, and some things that may be common, especially the first couple of questions I'm going to address are more common. So, absolutely. Where are
so
you
just
in the training? How far along are you?
I am now on module 5, so I haven't gotten as far as I wanted to, but it's good reading, quite honestly. And I say that because I took a course with you where some of these questions I had to answer as part of that course. And so some of it is kind of a refresher for me, but I found that my approach to understanding it was to simply just go with the flow of my conscious stream of thought, what was happening. So a lot of the questions required some really deep reflection, which I really enjoyed. But I'd like you, if you wouldn't mind, to kind of explain. I understand the idea that you use this as part of a training if you were providing it to a client, but it's also your own way of being trained as well in this. Am I right on that?
When you say the it now, let me be sure I understand. Are you talking
so
about
I have
this?
the New Money Story Mentor Training Manual. That's what I'm referring to.
Okay. Are you pairing the client workbook exercises
mm-hmm.
along with the curriculum to pair with seminars so that you're keeping all three abreast at the same time?
All three? I got the...
You have the curriculum, you have the client workbook, and you have the syllabus that pairs the 12 seminars with what reading is there each time, and the corresponding workbook exercises, because in the curriculum, the workbook is in gray, so that it'll be corresponding.
I don't
to
have that. Okay.
What do you not have?
I don't have that. What I have is I have the mentor training manual, and I have the client workbook.
Okay. What is it you don't have?
Well, you mentioned the curriculum.
The curriculum
is the module,
large,
right?
The 345-page.
Yeah, right.
Okay, that's what you have. Now, be sure you've downloaded and printed the syllabus for the pairing of the reading, and there's also an annotated outline that will go into detail for each of the 12 seminars that will correspond with the mentor guide and the client workbook. So
so then I need to go back to the CTA site, because
this
I don't have any of
them. No, this is not CTA. This is the Mentor Path site, the place that you go to for each of the 12 seminars to listen to them or to download them. There are about three things to download and print, the outline being one of them.
Okay, no.
At that
page. Okay, well, then that explains it. All right.
And if there's any problem, send me an email, but be sure and download all three things from that page, because that will help you keep abreast of what corresponds with what, and kind of all of you going in the same direction with the material.
That's really helpful. Thank you, because I just started reading, because I thought, this is it. This is the material.
Well,
okay, I'll go back
in. I need to be a little bit clearer at the beginning about the correspondence of how this all fits together, because we're not doing it live time, and I need to review how unclear I may be with that. So thank you for mentioning that.
Yeah,
do you have any other questions at this point about that, or any other comments on what you have read?
No, I was actually, my question was going to be, can you explain the rubric behind this, behind the programming? But you just did, because I had no idea that I needed to download some other materials, which I'll do after the call.
The outline and the syllabus particularly. And then there's a 28-week protocol that can be a guide if you want to use it with clients, or especially with groups, the exercises that correspond with each of the week's meetings.
Okay.
I have used that only for groups, but I've used it with some groups. There's a similar 28-week protocol for the wellness, and that can be a dynamite thing. Every group I've done actually the first few groups that I did for group coaching, I did by telephone, as you might have guessed. And it was a request from people who had done the licensed specialty certified training with me to want to meet as a group and go over the client workbook, one in wellness, one in money story, and these were distinct groups, to get an idea of how to do it themselves and talk with other people, other coaches who were doing it. And it was a dynamite group. One group was like 9 months and another 7. And we used the 28-week protocol to have assignments in the client workbook for each of the groups. And then we would still, as a group, talk about what we wanted to talk about that session. Most often it corresponded with aspects of the reading, but it didn't have to. And there have been a number of coaches who have done training that use the client workbook in the same way, and I have described this, what I've done for them, the absolute easiest way to do it is if you want to co-brand it, meaning putting your name on the cover and a new first page with your introduction and contact information and that sort of thing, I get my graphics person to do that at no cost to you. My IT guy to set up. The entire thing is a digital download, and then you can purchase from me, sell then at retail to your, so that as soon as they sign up with you, they immediately get a download to print the client workbook, and you're off and running without any delay, without handling it, and all of that. Does all of that make sense?
Yeah, I read that actually at the beginning of the of your doc. So I don't know how that's just something fell through the cracks. I didn't realize that I needed to do that. There was something else that accompanied the materials.
Well, I'm glad
so far I have two, but I'm glad I brought it up, and then that way I'll check after the conversation today. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thanks, Carolyn.
Mm-hmm.
Who else? What you got?
Hey, Dave. This is Joe Erskine.
Hey, Joe, how you doing, man?
I'm wonderful. I'm calling from the D.C. area. I think I told you last that I moved back up to the area.
Yeah, you abandoned the South.
Yes, I did.
Okay, well, how are things going for you? What are you doing now?
Being a bum for now.
Okay.
No, I'm just getting acclimated back to all this traffic here in the D.C. area. But no, I just came online to in support, you know, me being with my cybersecurity background. I'm glad that you're doing everything online. Well, not everything, but doing this online. Just wanted to listen. So I'm just here for support.
Super. Well, great. And if you have any of you, if you have questions or things you'd like to talk about or issues that you'd like to have discussed or to discuss yourself and offer, feel free to jump in. This is just an open mic, okay? Well, thanks and welcome. Great to hear from you. Who else?
Hi, Dave. This is Laurie Mackinac. How are you?
Hey, Laurie. How are you?
I'm good.
I'm about to come to your area to visit my daughter and four granddaughters next weekend.
Nice.
How's everything going for you?
It's great. It's great. Thank you. I'm enjoying the training. I just got it not that long ago. So I've made it through, I believe, 8 of the modules.
Okay.
And I realized that, so I'm in the new life story. So one of the things that I noticed is on the audio training, I wish I looked at this just before I got on the call, but I think one of the modules that is supposed to be the new relationship story is actually the new wellness story. And I think there's 2 audios that are new wellness story. So I don't know if I'm missing something, but I haven't been able to find the your new relationship story audio.
Okay. All right. Let me get with my IT guy and see what's going on there. Thank you for mentioning that, and don't ever hesitate to let me know if there's anything that I need to address in that way. I'm not sure what's happening, but we'll find out, and I'm on it. Thank you.
Okay, yeah. And so I have not started to integrate the syllabus and the manual and the audio. I started with the audio, so I'm on nine.
Okay.
I think I just finished. So.
Okay. I would recommend in an ideal way when you can to do the curriculum that corresponds to each of the 12 seminars, to read the manual first, then listen to the seminar, and sort of weave in working on the client workbook, the exercises yourself, because once you do them yourself, you'll know more about if you want to use any of them, some of them, and which ones with clients. So if you have all 3 corresponding, I think you'll get a real feel for how to do it, how to make it work, and what kind of application it would be. Because one of the questions I want to answer is about the application, and thanks for sending that in. So anything else, Laura? Did I interrupt you before you...
No. I'm actually looking forward to hearing how other people are using it in their own practices.
Yeah. Yeah. Any other any responses to that? How have you been finding the material? What are you finding that works in terms of how you actually make use of it?
Oh, well, Dave, this Carlene here. This
yeah.
did bring up a question for me. So I did the New Life Story coaching and received the syllabus and the audio files. And I assumed, and this might be a mistake, but I assumed that those audio files were just for us and that they were copyrighted and not something to share with a client. Am I correct on that or incorrect?
That's true. They're geared
okay.
for training. They're not
okay.
geared to use with clients, and they're for your ears only. Now, you
okay.
did leave out one aspect. There's an annotated outline for is one copy, but it's a number of pages for each of the 12 seminars. So that makes it a lot easier to follow. It's annotated so you don't have to take a bunch of notes, but it'll help you keep track of things. So
okay.
Do you have that as well?
That part I'm not sure of. I'd have to go back and look because I finished.
That's downloadable at the same place as the access to the 12 seminars. Was there a question in that? I jumped in kind of quickly.
No, you answered my question. That was the question of whether those audios were for clients. I had assumed they were just
yeah,
for
okay.
us, but then the question came up, well, maybe I'm misinterpreting that, and they could be used with clients too. So I just wanted to clear that up.
Yeah. One way to think about doing the exercises yourself is that there's a great deal of new, really interesting research in the neuroscience of performance in terms of putting things in an output channel, that rather than passive learning, when you put it in an output channel, it completes the circuit in the brain, and we both attend to and retain better when we do it in an output channel. A very simple example of that is recently a study at University of Waterloo had two matched groups of people read the same passage. One read the passage to themselves silently. The other read the passage out loud. The ones who read it out loud did 40% better on a test of the material. Just a simple application, and there are a lot of other more complex studies that show that actually putting it in an output channel, and this is the basis of deliberate practice, getting in a learning zone and doing deliberate practice and then accessing that same experience and same developed skill by getting in a performance zone and executing it. So that's an important aspect that I think you'll find valuable in your own training, because you'll have to make it up yourself as you do it in a self-paced way, but it's also possible to do it in a way that really fits your style and your timetable. So other clarifications or other thoughts about this or other experiences any of you have about this? Or any other check-ins and questions in different directions? Well, let me, and again, don't hesitate to interrupt me. Just a couple of questions I wanted to answer, then I want to keep it open for discussion, because you already know what I think, and you can probably say it along with me as well as I can. So you don't need to know more about what I think. I need to know more about what can be most helpful to you. So one is, can you summarize how you think about using story in working with clients in a simple way? The answer to in a simple way is no, I can't. But here's my answer. First, when we talk about story, new life story, money story, relationship, whatever the story is our metaphor. It's not the client's. The client is not writing a money story. are creating a wellness story. They're doing what they do. It's not a story to them. It's their life. It's just the way things are. So this is for us to conceptualize in a way to connect with clients to make it useful for them. So to talk about this in a little bit of a different way, a script really refers to the default mode of our expectations, experiences, beliefs, responses that determine how we write our stories. Our expectations inform those brain patterns that result in typical, even at times stereotypical, responses to certain situations. So the script for each scenario in our lives operates largely without conscious thought. You know, you've heard me say a number of times, 90 to 95% of our operating system is unconscious. So that's where we come in as coaches, that our client is always showing us exactly what it's like to be him or her. And they may not even know the questions to ask. To know to ask is half the answer. And the definition of a blind spot is you can't see it. The definition of an unconscious bias is it's not conscious. So the script for each scenario in our lives operates largely then without conscious thought. So to deconstruct the system, to understand the algorithms of pattern and performance behavior, we have to examine, hopefully as collaboratively as possible, the default mode, the script. Change initially involves focusing on the system to understand and change that script. So this is where we can engage also ourselves in self-directed neuroplasticity to create and rewire new behavior side by side with unlearning old automatic behavior. If we do it with others, it's still the neuroplasticity that we collaboratively engage with. The approaches to changing behavior that work, and this is what's important, and this is what has been emphasized again and again in the material. The approaches to changing behavior that work also consider what this does to your personal story and especially your identity. And remember from looking at the P in the roadmap, the most powerful force of the human psyche is that we always return to our identity. So if we as coaches help someone transform their identity while we're helping them transform their behavior and focus on their choice architecture, then that's what makes change permanent when their identity undergoes the same transformation as their behavior, when the operating model of how and who they are changes along with it. So, and this is where science is applied about understanding patterns and the fundamental principles from that form the foundation of our lives and the world. The brain is a pattern-seeking organ. And as you've heard me say repeatedly, many of the methods to facilitate change are contrary to the way the mind and brain work. And that's what makes the work that you're doing and the training based on some of these principles of the mind and brain sciences, in my view, so powerful. So it's not about having all the answers, since most of our operating system is unconscious and not directly accessible anyhow, but it's about having the informed framework to ask the right questions and an evidence-based system to implement strategic practice to create an optimum performance story, whatever direction that goes. So I want to say in a little bit of a different way, the two proven systems that address optimum performance. We've talked, and you've heard me say repeatedly, if you want to change a habit, create a new habit, or change behavior, focus on the system, not just the goal. The goal's abstract. It's out there. It's tomorrow or later. The system is going to tell you, what do I need to do this minute? What is the next step? So that's what's important, is to create a plan. When you have a map, you know where you are, where you're going, can measure progress along the way, can tell what's detour and what's distraction. That's a system. So from the training, there are two systems that I want to highlight. You've heard these, you've worked with these, you're going to be working with one to do your own write-up for certification, and you've seen a number of examples in the roadmap ebook with the 32 different case studies as examples from previous graduates. Some of you who have contributed may be on the line. I'm not at my dashboard right now. So there are two systems that enhance performance. A micro system is the neuroconditioning program to manage emotional triggers and to rewire planned ideal responses for optimum performance. The neuroconditioning program, and that's the sheet, and that's part of, that's what's also downloaded in the outline and part of one entire seminar is devoted to this. And this is something, if any of you feel like it might be helpful to you, to offer to your clients as a homework or as a way of introducing it, in addition to the roadmap case study book, which you've written and published so that it could benefit your marketing, is to refer someone to that 35-minute webinar on the home page of MentorPath. That can introduce them to what's possible in working with you. And that's where the neuroconditioning chart is, and an example, an explanation of the first person who I initially hatched the idea with and developed it before it evolved. So these are simple, evidence-based sequences to generate optimum responses at a behavior and brain level. It's a simple, proven mastery tactic to help you effectively manage states of mind and strategically plan optimum performance. It's a systematic architecture of state of mind regulation so that ultimately when you repeat it over and over, you rewire your brain for new behaviors and optimum performance habits. And when you simply repeat the cue for the mantra, the cue, the focus, phrase, the physiology, ultimately, the cue itself will instantly boot up an ideal state. Is Shelley on the line? Shelley Martintil, are you on the line? Okay, I was going to have her describe her son-in-law is a major all-pro player, and he's developed a fascinating kind of cue. We'll talk about that in just a bit if we have time or if she joins us. Okay, so the other system is a macro system. This is the roadmap system. It's simply a performance macro system to deconstruct and understand personal performance, a way to systematically write new code for mind, brain, and behavior to optimize performance, including performance under pressure. And as you know, the roadmap system is an acronym for the 7 steps of a scientific and systematic way to deconstruct and understand a story, whatever story that is. Money, relationship, performance, states of mind, whatever it is. So this includes the development of a corresponding new identity to become a bedrock to make this transformation permanent. So basically, the roadmap system becomes the blueprint to construct and understand thoughts, feelings, behaviors organized into an accomplished story. I have a second question I want to respond to, but I want to hear, are there any questions or clarifications about Either of these are about how to use them. Now, the roadmap is not something you're going to hand an outline to a client. They're simply your ways of thinking about organizing it. The neural conditioning chart program may be something that you share with a client and get them to work on it and report back to you about how it works, or work with them together. So any thoughts or questions? Is this making sense? Go ahead.
It's Carlene again. I really appreciate the overview. I didn't have a clear understanding of using the micro program, and I was focused more on the roadmap system through the workbook. And so this is just adding a new layer or a new alternative to what I'm offering. And I think I was already,
I lost you there with a couple of words. Would you say that last again, please?
Sure. I was using the micro system, but not directly as you're explaining it. I wasn't using it. I was using it indirectly just through my own neural background and understanding behavior change. Yeah.
Well, it's something that I think has very common and practical implications. Anytime anybody notices an emotional trigger and they get derailed or distracted or whatever, that state change, that process of really recognizing the emotional trigger and recognizing what can be done about that can be significant. Maybe if you can listen again to Master States of Mind on the website, the example is a very commonplace one, but it shows how when somebody has an emotional trigger, there's an instantaneous state change to reenter a time capsule, and that time capsule may contain all the, you know, the upset, all the feeling, the various kinds of things that aren't going to change. And various kinds of therapy will probably not be productive because it's by definition a time capsule. What you can do is to cue your radar for the emotional trigger to rewire it to respond in a different way by way of getting grounded and centered, because when you stay grounded and centered, then you don't fall into that time capsule. Or when you get grounded and centered, it's the rescue rope to get out of that, because you can't therapize or logic or feel your way out of a time capsule. It's what it is. It's always going to be there, but you can circumvent it and rewire your brain to respond in a different way, so that becomes ultimately as automatic as the state change to the emotional trigger.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's super helpful. I appreciate that. Especially viewing it as a time capsule, because I feel there's too much focus on trying to change the content within the time capsule, which in my opinion is a bit futile. So probably better to be navigating the edges.
Yeah,
recognizing.
You can scratch a bit. It is futile because you don't change the time capsule, but you can create a different system. This is why it's such an important. It is a system. It's a micro system for a specific feeling, while the roadmap is the macro system for a story component, whatever that is, whether it's a performance story, a money story, or some segment of it. It's simply a way to listen as coaches to deconstruct and hear what goes into it and be able to reconstruct a different or a better or a new story with the client.
Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. Other thoughts or clarifications or uses that you found of it? Okay, well, the other question, and again, don't hesitate to jump in, because you don't get to do that with the recorded seminars. another question here, can you give an example of using one of these two systems with a client. First of all, there's an example, as I said, of how I initially hatched the idea on the Master States of Mind, and it gives a good way of working through it. I would still recommend the basic same way of giving a client homework, of creating a time, an appointment with herself to write down all the emotional triggers without letting them be triggering, but just to be an observer, to write them all down and write down the usual response. And then at a second setting, look at the third and fourth columns and then simply practice. But there's an illustration of that. So here's another kind of an example. When I was in the singles lift line at Steamboat, about to advance to the chairlift, an instructor behind me who had five little kids, all about age six, asked if I would mind if two of them rode the chairlift with me. Well, of course, I welcomed the opportunity. As we got on the lift, the little girl next to me had a kind of an awkward seating and seemed to slump a little bit as we were riding and talking. As we got close to the end of the lift to ski out of the chair, she said in a really timid voice, "I'm scared to get off." I said, "I understand." And then I asked, "Do you know who Laurie Hernandez is?" This was just after the 2016 Summer Olympics when Laurie had won a gold in the team event and a silver on the balance beam. The little girl looked at me and said, "Yeah." I asked her if she would like to know what Laurie did when she was scared about performing her gymnastics routine. And she immediately said, "Yeah." I told her that Laurie did three things. She pictured herself doing a perfect routine, a vision of exactly how she would perform. Then, the instant before she began, she took a deep breath to breathe in relaxation and breathe out any tension. And she said to herself, "I got this." Well, my new little buddy seemed really interested in this and sat a little bit more upright. And as we were a few seconds from getting off the lift, I asked her what she was going to say to herself if she got off. She said in a kind of a timid and a hesitant voice, "I got this." And I nudged her and I said, "Say it like you really mean it." Then in a voice that seemed to channel all of her 5 years into somebody I didn't want to meet in a dark alley, she said very confidently, "I got this." And then she skied out of the chair perfectly. She stopped, turned around to look at me from about 10 feet away, and at the same instant, we both did a one-inch air fist bump. We both smiled, and then she skied off with her instructor. So this is the mantra, the cue, the focus, the physiology. So breakthroughs in neuroscience, cognitive psychology, behavioral sciences have created radically new ways to guide performance and map success. Mind and brain-based strategies integrated with performance science have dramatic effects on the way we interact, the way we perform, even the way we lead. Performance enhancement principles and systems can form the templates of deliberate practice for peak performance. You can tell from what I'm adding to this what my next project is. I started two Septembers ago, September before last, and then this September, the month I spend in the old 300-year-old Creole home in the French Quarter writing, that I'm doing some work on peak performance and the mind and brain sciences applied. So basically, what we know is that information has never been sufficient to generate change. The process has to be addressed in a stepwise, systematic manner to result in transformation and also, ultimately, the transformation of the core to make the change permanent. So, basically, this just incorporates the way our brains have a unique way of writing into code and creating complex algorithms that consciously are inaccessible, but yet we see the developed stories of behavior and performance, and understanding and rewriting these patterns can lead to significant enhancement. So So I hope that answers that question, and thanks for sending it in. Thoughts or clarifications or questions about any of this? Other aspects that you would like to discuss, things that have to do with either your coaching or your coaching practice or any marketing things. Oh, I have there are a couple of questions about the neuromarketing thing I've done. That will be released. There's a 3 ebook series that will be released just after the first of the year. I have a preliminary access to that. I'll send you that link. It's for the 3 ebooks that are a combination of text and audio and some supplemental material. I'm sorry, because it's with a publisher, I can offer it at a discount that I'm given for $97. That's the best I can do, and I apologize for that. But I'll send you the link for that in case you might be interested. It's basically what I did in recognizing what I most needed to do is to look, and primarily the question that so many of the people I work with and train really began to ask about how they can enhance their practice. They have, you know, great training. They have, but they all wanted more clients and were a little uncertain about how to go about that and wanted my thoughts about that. So I thought, well, let's look at applying some of the new and fascinating to me research from the mind and brain sciences to your practice. So I began a 2 or 3 year project of looking at the psychology of influence, the neuroscience of persuasion, and neuromarketing to create these 3 ebooks. And this is kind of an evolution. Some of you may have participated in an earlier teleseminar, and I do usually when I do something to a fixed product like this ebook series with this publisher, I do teleseminar series first in order to get feedback, to see what kind of questions people have, what works, what makes sense, and how things need to be revised. So I've done that over time, and I'll send that link, and thanks for the note of that. But for now, other questions, thoughts, what would be most helpful to each of you for us to talk about? One thing I want to mention, for every one of you who have trained with me, I have mentioned the book, when we get to the wellness component, Younger Next Year by Henry Lodge Jr., and a companion book, Younger Next Year for Women. He's an internist in New York City who's devoted basically now 40 years of his professional life to wellness research. One of my most recent reads is a book that was just released by a professor of genetics at Harvard Medical. It's called Lifespan, Why We Age and Why We Don't Have to. It's by Dr. David Sinclair, and he's reviewed current research and has done current research to date on aging, and it's an eye-opening summary of this in his book. So in my view, then, Sinclair's book is the next step after Lodge's book. He's a practical futurist. He's sort of at the cutting edge of medical – he is at the cutting edge of medical research on aging. It's another way to think about what we've discussed in training as the next best action. So, in essence, whatever you eat, however much pleasure you get from it, is exquisitely transitory, lasting a few seconds or a minute or two if it's really good. The big picture is what's in our best interest, what best will foster long-term health in our bodies. It's like investing in the future with compound interest, and he has some remarkable new data on the epigenetics and the components that go into aging, or more importantly, not aging. So, again, I think you'll find it interesting and beneficial. Lifespan, why we age, and why we don't have to, Dr. David Sinclair. So what else would be helpful for you? Are there other applications or challenges that any of you have, either with the material or its application? How many of you have begun to apply this in working with clients to see what you think about how useful it is to inform you and to inform the narratives that you guide in your mentor coach clients?
So this is Carolyn. I found it really helpful. I had a client who we took a little hiatus over the Christmas holiday, but she really was a very talented person, and was looking. She's, I think, looking to transition into, that is her intention, to transition into taking over a construction business owned by her father, and we were kind of moving along, and she was sending me, you know, agendas for each session. And one day she called, and she didn't send an agenda, but she called, and something had happened, and clearly it was an emotional trigger for her, and it really kind of took us off track. And when I say off track, she really wanted to talk about it. I mean, it was not what we typically talk about. It's something that she wanted to talk about, and so I did. And as part of that, and this is even before I really fully got engaged in the new money story, and sort of looking at the neural conditioning aspect of all of this, but that was kind of where we went back to, which was understanding the neural triggers that, or the emotional triggers that can take you off track. And so I had to spend two sessions sort of addressing that with the client and allowing the client to kind of come to an understanding of what those things were for her. And I think it went well, but as I'm listening to you and reading the materials, but I have, you know, it's going to require, you know, more of a deep dive on my end to fully see how to integrate this successfully in a coaching practice.
Well, I thank you for sharing that, and I would contend that that's among the more important things that have happened or will happen in your mentor coaching with that client. You've heard me say both of these things before, that there are a couple of studies in Harvard Business Review and Scientific American Mind that show that the most successful variable for executives is self-regulation and self-reflection. Now, I would contend that it's only because they studied executives. That's for everyone. So one of the most important things that could ever happen in your work with that person is to focus on self-regulation. You've probably heard me use this example before, that there have been two or maybe three instances in the time that I've been doing mentor coaching and over the dozen years, that someone would call in for a session and say they just had a very upsetting event, or they were so preoccupied with what was going on, they thought they wouldn't be able to use the session and requested to change times. And I said, I will respect that. Would you like for us just to spend a minute or two to do a focused meditation or a guided relaxation, depending on the client? And each of the people said yes, and we spent maybe just a minute or maybe a minute and a half doing that focused relaxation, the progressive relaxation or the mindfulness meditation. And inevitably, the client was able to get grounded and centered and make significant use of that session. And my contention is that first minute or two was the most important thing that happened for the entire remainder of that session, because that way of self-regulating was then downloaded as a model for the client to use whenever there's a significant issue or just to practice to regularly have and engage that mindfulness meditation on a daily basis. So always, and you've heard me say this repeatedly, always, state always comes first. Whenever someone presents with something, the first response to engage and resonate with their experience in an empathic way is to find some simple way to resonate with that experience. It may be simply to say, you know, I understand how upsetting, or I hear how upsetting that was, or, you know, something that resonates with their experience, because that means that you have entered their circle. You have created a common ground. You're no longer outside the circle. And it's from that co-created common ground that everything else follows. Strategy and story always follow state. Instead of immediately jumping in to strategize about something or look at what somebody wants to do and plan, the first response to empathically resonate with their experience, it may be to briefly celebrate a great week. You know, I just, an hour before we started, got off the phone with a very high-profile financial professional who had mentioned something huge that he had done and successfully completed this last week. So we spent just a moment really celebrating that and you know, expressing both celebration and gratitude, because that's where he was at, and that's why he does what he does. And that's why I do what I do, and you do what you do. So to really resonate with that experience, I think, is a great first step, and to not ever forget that. It's just like you don't want to forget when you start a session to ask what the client wants to focus on and where they want to get to, because that's the success map. That's the defining of the client taking ownership of that story that's about to unfold, the story of that session, and defining a destination, the success map of where the client wants to get to, so that you then collaboratively are pursuing that. So once you've framed the beginning and the end, the rest is jazz. Now, it's informed by a number of things, your experiences, your training, your skill, and all of that, but that really frames it. So thanks for mentioning that. Other thoughts or comments about any of this? Is this making sense with what each of you do each day with your clients?
Oh, yes. Hi, Dr. Dave. This is Naomi. And that
hey,
was
welcome.
Very... Hi. Yeah, that was just very helpful about how to deal with the state of mind first and teaching with the self-regulation. That was a real aha for me.
Good.
That was good.
Okay. All right, now we've got 5 minutes left. I'd like to hear from you what your biggest challenge is, either with clients or with your practice, or what aspect of coaching, and specifically, what's your greatest challenge at this point in time? Now, you're free to say it's understanding the damn way you've written the material, Kruger, but so anything goes here, okay? What kind of challenges are you experiencing? Remember, to know to ask is half the answer.
Right.
So this is
Naomi.
Go ahead, Naomi, and then we'll come back to whoever I didn't quite hear.
Okay. So one of the challenges is that I find, I know that with the whole program we're looking at about 8 or 9 months, but how to maybe make that into smaller chunks to where...
Are you talking about the training or are you talking about working with clients?
Working with clients.
Oh, okay. Where'd you come up with 8 or 9 months?
Just going through the whole entire, I guess, and that's everything. That's the new life story.
Okay, well, you may be using, I think I get it, you may be using the anchor reference of the 28-week protocol, and that's it, you know, for a group meeting, you know, three times a month, that's, you know, 7 to 8 months. So you're,
yes.
Now, every client, and this is why I don't have programs or fixed length, except for groups, fixed length things with individual clients, is I don't think either a client or me will know at the beginning how long to sign somebody up for. So I don't think a client can be informed to know I want the 3 month or I want the 5 month program or I want the, you know, the gold or the platinum or the bronze program. So I began with a recommendation that's very specific about how we'll work together, what's involved in that, what the fee is, and then we take it from there. So it's not fixed, but we both assess as we go along, because it's, everything is a collaboration, including that, because ways to assess and validate progress becomes internalized as well, so that ultimately they can do it without me. So was there a question, Naomi, that I talked over?
No, you kind of made it. You made the distinction. So, I get that. So, no, that did answer actually my question that I may not have asked.
Okay,
but all right, it gave me some clarity.
Okay.
Yes,
great.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. There was someone also who spoke at the same time as Naomi.
Yes, I just have two quick things. This is Carolyn. Just two quick things. The first is something that you just talked about, which is knowing when it's time to you know, reassessing the relationship and determining that, you know, watching the growth. So, for example, that particular client, leaps and bounds, I mean, really solid, but, you know, we had two, three session rounds, but we had a couple of rounds, and she really, it was just great to watch the growth and see her come into her own and sort of take the mantle up and decide that she's gonna be the person who transitions the business. It was great. And it was kind of sad, too, because I realized that, okay, well, she doesn't need me anymore, which is kind of nice. I mean, that's kind of what you want. We want them to get to a space where, yeah, okay, I got this, as you just said a minute ago. So that's one thing, and that is the mourning that takes place when you know your client has reached a plateau that's a healthy place to be, and they can cut the cord and no longer need your input. I don't know how you manage that other than to keep getting new clients. And secondly, with this program that I'm currently in, I realize now that given what our conversation was at the beginning of the phone call, I'm behind schedule significantly, because I just went online and pulled all that stuff that you talked about that you said was available. So, I'm going to work on getting it all done. I know it's the 28-week program. I don't know what my options are after that time frame. So maybe I'll shoot you an email and you can tell me if there are any.
Okay, let me clarify a couple of things, and I want to come back to your initial questions. The 28-week protocol is only an outline to consider revising, to expand parts or to condense other parts or to edit for working with clients. That's not a protocol for you. The original training, the 12 seminars, were 75-minute seminars every week, so it was completed in 3 months. Now, the benefit of the online training is that it can be, or it is self-paced. Now, I would anticipate that you would still get the best benefit by doing it in a sustained, immersed way over maybe 3 months or so, where you do one seminar and the reading and the workbook exercises and work tools on a weekly basis. So that will give you probably the best. It's also analogous, roughly, I think, to working with a client on a weekly basis. Most of my clients I work with a standing time, 50 minutes once a week, they call me. Now, the exceptions I won't go into, but if someone were to say to me, I'll give you 12 sessions with this client, How would you like to configure it? I most often, almost always, would say, I believe we can get significantly more work done meeting once a week for 12 weeks than meeting twice a month for 6 months or once a month for a year, because the immersion and the continuity and consistency allows that work. So
okay.
Now, in terms of the first part of what you said, this is part of what we do in an ongoing basis all the time, is to develop that self-reflection with the client with every step or every significant progress to highlight that, because this is part of the evolving model of how they self-reflect and self-regulate and validate themselves, because we're doing it together. So we're rewriting that model of how they can see a challenge as a signpost to progress, the anxiety or trepidation about being in a new place as validation that they're moving ahead, as seeing the anxiety about something new and different that they have created, maybe not as anxiety, because the brain reads anxiety and excitement in the same way. If you read it as anxiety, you better head for cover. You better stop. If you read it as excitement, then that's part of the reframing of looking at the opportunity that's being created of moving ahead in new territory and validation of progress. When that's internalized by the client, then we're gangbusters. Now, I know we're out of time, but there are a couple of very brief things I want to add here. One of the things I think is most important that we do with our clients is to help them develop this capacity, and initially it's going to come from us. You know, I might say to someone, they're kind of, man, this is tougher than I thought. Well, look at where you are right now and what we're dealing with compared to when we started 2 months ago, and acknowledge the significant progress that you're making. Or one thing that I'll say, after we've had just a tough exchange, and I've had to maybe bring out my Dutch uncle self or some other really challenging thing, one way that I can see how far you've come is, think about when we started, I could not have gotten away with saying what I just said to you in the way that I did, and you take it and roll with it and incorporate it into significant growth. And I feel totally comfortable and confident in doing this, knowing that you're going to handle it and see it as a way and seize it to make progress. And the client will inevitably say, well, yeah, I feel that too. So, I mean, that's, to me, an indication I can get away with saying whatever I need to say. That's also a measure of the working alliance. That's the first developmental phase of the coaching relationship, is the development of a working alliance where we together are collaboratively doing what we need to do. The blog that has an example of this that's archived is called We're Always Teaching Others. It's an example from a training that I did to develop an internal mentoring group for an organization. Well, I know we're out of time, and I know we're over. Thank you for bearing with me. I really appreciate all of your input initially and during the time. If there are things that we didn't get to, feel free to email me. I'll be happy to send it. If it's something that I think everyone would benefit, I'll send a response to everybody. So thanks very, very much. And again, always don't hesitate to let me know how I could be of help to you. Thanks so much for all of your energy and input. I appreciate it and enjoyed it. See you guys.
Thank you, Dr. Dave. Happy holidays, everyone.
Yeah, great.